believes that he is. And now why, ladies and gentlemen? Because of the power, the mass of stuff that he's accumulated. Man, ministry has gotten so big in this guy's mind. Man, it is the love of money that is the root of all evil. This is what money does to. This is why Fred Price needs and this other joker, what's his name with the flat top? Benny Hinn would say that he needs a Lear jet because they're wearing out. Man, the arrogance of it all. Friends, I've never even touched or been near a Lear jet. Quite as kept, I have no reason to want to get on one. And when I fly United or something else like that, I hope I have the airfare. Now, see, the word faither would laugh at me and say, you don't have faith. No, 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 I don't have money. But Creflo would say that I don't have money because I'm not using the God that I am to get it. Well, in the Psalm text, he wasn't talking about their moral or spiritual relationship. There must be some government amongst men. This is what the Psalm text is, government amongst men. And as angels are not sent to dispense it, God allowed men to rule over men and endorse their office so far at least that the proposition of it becomes an insult to its own prerogatives. In other words, if you use this in a way outside of the way that God told you to use it as a magistrate, you were condemned. You were condemned. So here we see the Spirit speaking most honorably of these offices when it censors its own officers. That's the meaning of the text in Psalms. It has nothing to do with God calling the children of Israel gods. Now, I also investigated some other scriptures here, and I came up with looking at Exodus chapter 7, verse 1. I don't know whether you ever read this, but it says, "And I, the Lord, said to Moses, see, I make you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron, your brother, shall be your prophet." Now, does this mean that Moses was a god? And if you look at the preposition in the Hebrew, it says as God. It didn't say that he made him like him. I'll give you another text since you don't believe me there. Exodus chapter 4, verse 16. "He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God." We see this kind of language throughout the Old Testament scriptures. So why is it that Creflo goes off on the deep end? Bob calling from Seal Beach. Hi, Bob.
Hi there. How are you today?
Doing good.
Well, what Creflo says is scriptural, although the question is who said it.
Absolutely.
And the first time in scripture that somebody was promised that they shall be as gods was actually the serpent. And Genesis 3:4 says, "And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." That's
Man.
The person who promises people that they are going to be as gods.
And you know what, Bob? The frightening thing here is that Creflo is doing exactly that. And the people are sitting there not knowing their scripture, buying into it hook, line, and sinker. And see, and that's what makes these sound clips dangerous for people that don't understand what's happening. Stay on the line, Bob, and we're going to listen to the next clip. Continue to listen with us, ladies and gentlemen.
"Well, Psalm 82, he was just referring to those judges and magistrates. That's it. Oh, now Jesus brought it up again in John chapter 10. Flip over there.
Now, what he's doing is he's taking them to John chapter 10. Just stay with us. Taking them to John chapter 10, verse 34.
Oh, yeah.
Now he...
Oh, yeah.
See, he thinks he's smart now.
Oh, yeah. Verse 32. Well, look at verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him." So this ain't the first time they tried to stone Jesus.
Can we pause that? Yeah, let's pause that. Just pause that cut. See, now, Bob, what he's trying to say here, he's trying to imply that when people speak against him, they're trying to stone him because he's trying to teach what Jesus taught. You see, and so what he's trying to do is he's trying to get the people over to his favor. That's why instead of him starting at the verse that he first went at, he said, no, look at this, because he knows that evangelicals would try to stone him for using the scripture out of context. So now he tries to gain the sympathy of the people by using this verse. You see, they're shrewd, Bob, in what they do. And
that's
if you're
common tactic that they use.
Yes.
They become the martyr.
Right.
And they are the ones who are actually the ones that are contrary to the scripture.
You're right. And then when you hear a man tell you the truth of the scripture, and then you see that this man is not has not accumulated all of these things, then you say, well, God is wealth. God is, you see, and that's how they manipulate people into this. Now, let's continue to listen to this clip.
You like, well, I don't listen to that preacher because every time I look on the news, he on the news. Hey, you got to understand, man, it wasn't like Jesus, you know, hung around all of the little sweet people who never had controversy. See, if you're afraid of controversy, you need to resign your leadership. You can't be a leader and be afraid of controversy. Because what they say doesn't make it so. You make it so. You just make sure it ain't so. Again, they want this phone. Hey, look at this. Jesus answered them, many good works have I shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou being a man, makest thou self God. Now watch Jesus. Cool, well, watch it. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law?
He's quoting from Psalms.
I said, ye are gods.
Now listen.
If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, you tell me that thou blasphemest because I said I'm the Son of God. It's written in your own law. It's written in the doggone thing that you're standing on trying to come against me. And you said that I'm committing blasphemy because in your own law, he already said we're little G's. You commit blasphemy because you are going against what he said about us.
Now, let me say this right now, and Bob, you're still on the line, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good. You see what he does? He is a classic word faith teacher. He takes a set of scriptures, and he begins to dialogue about those scriptures. And without giving proper biblical exegesis about anything, you notice what Creflo did not do. He did not say that Jesus was using the Psalm 82:6 as a reference of condemning the religious leaders of the same type of tomfoolery that they did back in the day. You see, and nor did he try to explain exegetically what that passage was in Psalm, but what he did is he takes Jesus quoting the book of Psalms, and then the people screams out because they're saying, I see it now, and they have not been taught true. Man, it is... Bob, if you really look at it, man, this is one of the greatest schemes that a trickster could come up with, because what they've done is that they have come in the camp of the church and they have taken the sacred scriptures, because the church does not put a high level of authenticity on the educated pastor that goes to seminary that studies the scriptures. You see, the church just puts these wannabe charlatans in front of them, and then these guys have conned the word of God. And that's why these people are giving them this a mass of money. Now, Bob, I'm glad that you called, because coming up in January of next year, we're going to get a panel of men together and literally communicate how this goes on in all these people's churches and in their minds. And people must know how this takes place. Are you excited about that conference?
Very much so.
I mean, it is going to be a conference that's held here in the Los Angeles area. And that's why every Sunday coming up to that point, we're going to play these points or these cuts for all of you to listen to and for you people to come to the decision, how do we allow this to happen? Let's see, how many more clips do we have left? That's it, right? Okay, we went all through all 13. Let's play the first clip again. I want the people to hear it. And before we play it, I want the people to hear what Creflo is saying. Creflo believes that he is so much of a God that he can create the world that he is living in. Listen again as we play the final cut, and then we're going to close out. All right, first cut.
I'm like my daddy. I can create health. I can create healing. I can create deliverance. I can create a house. I can create a car. I can create promotion. I can create deliverance. I've been made a little lower than Elohim.
Now, what I'd like anyone to do for about the last 5 or 6 minutes that we have left is that if you can give me one scripture in the Holy Bible. No, please don't call me with the Quran. Don't call me with the Book of Mormon. Don't call me with your mama or your daddy's esoteric text that they believe in. One scripture in the Bible that validates what Creflo Dollar just said. And I'll resign from doing Christian talk radio. Now, the reason that I make such a challenge for you out there is because I know that there is no scripture that says that he can create anything. Bob, what would bring a person to this type of arrogance? I mean, I don't know how a person could be so arrogant. It must be the money that they've already amassed. And it must be the people that they have amassing around them to give them this, an aura of power? What do you think it is, Bob?
Well, yeah, and I think it's spiritual, and that indeed, you know, you were talking about there being two types of spirits.
Yeah.
And both types have power, and there's no question that there is power involved in demonic spirits. So I think that they are drunk with this power, and you know, have completely denied the truth to the point where they can't even understand the truth. I mean, it's amazing, this creation thing, because me being with a scientific training,
yes,
mankind has never created anything. I mean, God created by speaking things out of nothing into existence.
Yes.
Now, I would like to see a man who has done that. Man only manipulates what has already been created.
That's a very good point. Boy, that's an excellent point. We can only manipulate that we have in front of us. And what he's doing, basically, is manipulating the people that are sitting in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And especially people that have not been trained nor educated by the Word of God, they have no other recourse than to listen to this man and to give him absolutely everything that he's asking for. My gosh. And so it is a systematic approach that they take, and especially, and I think it's totally offensive to me, when they take the Word of God and use this word out of context. Bob, I'm looking forward, and thanks for the call, my brother.
Oh, thank you very much, Pastor John.
God bless. Bye-bye. You know, ladies and gentlemen, as we come to the conclusion, just let me say this to you. I mean, and you know, with all of the, I guess, love that I can conjure up right now, many of you have been following this man. You've been following men like that. You've given your life savings over to him. You have dedicated your life to supporting this world-changing ministry, if you can call it that. You have seen your family and friends go down the primrose lane, but I'd just like to share with you just a few scripture. Matthew chapter 5 verse 19 says, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven." And then he says, "But whosoever shall do and teach them," that is, the right precept, "shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." I have another late caller calling in, Alphonse from Colton. Thanks for calling, Alphonse.
Hello, how you doing?
Fine, brother.
All right, I was just calling because I wanted to ask you a question. What did Jesus Christ tell his disciples? He said, "Greater works that I do, ye shall do."
Yes.
Okay, he was telling disciples. Now, Jesus opened the eyes of the blind. You mean the disciples are going to do greater works than that?
No, he didn't mean that.
Okay, let me ask you another question.
Go ahead.
What was the power Adam had before he took his fall?
Well, the power that Adam had before he took his fall was appetite.
Did he have power over the fish of the sea? God gave him dominion to rule everything?
He gave them names, but he didn't tell the fish which way to swim.
God set that up, but God...
Did you hear what I said, Alphonse? Alphonse, stop it. Did you hear what I said, Alphonse?
Yes, I heard
he gave them the ability to name the fish and to control the fish in the pond, but he didn't tell them what direction to swim.
Gotcha.
Wait a minute, Alphonse. Did Adam have the power to give the fish the direction to swim in? Yes or no? Come on, Alphonse. You have 100,000 people listening to you right now. I want you to tell me that Adam had the power to tell a whale which direction to swim. Yes or no?
Did he have power over the fish?
I'm saying, did he have power to direct? I'm going to ask you one more time, then I'm going to hang up.
Okay.
I want you to say yes or no. Did Adam?
No, he did not.
Now, listen. Since you said no, he did not, would you say that God created the mammal with an instinctive ability to swim in whatever direction the other fish were so that it could eat it? Yes or no?
You're right. Yes.
So God did it and Adam didn't do it.
Uh-uh.
Now, the minute, as you heard Bob Kling say to me, the minute that man can do something like that, I will resign. Your argument is weak. But call me in the office and we'll talk later, brother. God bless. Man, this is great. Let me give you another scripture. Matthew 15, in verses 9 through 13, he says, "But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father planteth not shall be rooted up." See, the Creflo Dollars of this world will be rooted up. Verse 19, and says, "But out of the heart comes forth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, railings." Creflo Dollar is a false teacher, false teachings. Romans 16. Oh, wait a minute. We have another caller calling in from San Diego. Carol from San Diego. Hi, Carol. Thanks.
Hi. How are you?
Doing good.
You know, I've been listening to this these tapes of this man.
Yes.
And it brings to mind Colossians 2:18.
Okay.
Also, that let no man rob you of your prize, of your reward.
Okay.
Let no man decide for or against you. And this is without any notion of a prize. Do not give yourselves up to the judgment and decisions of any man.
Yes.
Because these things are said of false teachers.
Yes.
Those who would frustrate the faithful adherence
yes.
of the believers to the truth, causing
yes.
them to lose their reward.
Absolutely. And I'd like to quote another scripture, Romans 16, 17, and 18. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that are causing the divisions and occasions of stumbling."
That's right.
Because that's what Creflo is doing, contrary to the doctrine which you learn. And then it says in verse 17b, "Turn away from them." And then it explains why you should turn away from them in verse 18. "For they that are of such serve not our Lord Christ, but their own bellies." Creflo is rich.
Amen.
"And by their smooth," and he is smooth, "and fair speech, they beguile," check this out, check this out, Carol, "they beguile the hearts of the innocent." I'm not talking to the ones that are not innocent. I'm talking to the innocent ones that are setting up in these word faith churches that have been carried literally to hell by these pimps. And it seems like people in my community won't say it. You see, I don't fear Creflo. He has no power. He can't do anything but get out of my sight. The man is disgusting. And anyone that would try to back him up is also a disgusting creature.
Amen.
Thanks for calling, Carol.
Thank you.
All right, more scripture, 1 Corinthians 11, 18 and 19. Since I'm a Bible pastor, right? He says, "For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there's divisions existing amongst you, which I partly believe it." And then he says, "For there shall also be factions amongst you." And then he goes on and says that they are approved that they may be manifest amongst you. So there are going to be divisions amongst us. And I'm saying that I'm divided against people like Creflo Dollar and stuff like that because the guy has not taught correct doctrine. Now, your role as a Christian, you have to evaluate doctrine in the church that you're being taught. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 said, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." You've got to test it. That's your responsibility. When a Christian tests the spirit, he or she will know if it is from God. 1 John chapter 4, 2 and 3. "By this you shall know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Christ has come in the flesh is of God." Now, Creflo was confessing that you're God. So that's a dead giveaway that this boy is out of his... Yeah, I call him a boy because he's disgusting. He's not a man because a man wouldn't... only a child in mind would use such words. He degradates my Savior. He degradates the God of this whole blooming universe. He tries to pull God down and pull me up to his level. I think that utterly disgusting. That's toilet water, as far as I am concerned. And anyone that affirms him, and anyone that agrees with him, you're toilet water religion. That's all that is. You should be ashamed of yourself. It is the most disgusting thing that I've ever heard in my entire life. And I do not understand someone calling themselves a Christian, and you will continuously make this man a millionaire. You're doing it with Kenneth Ulmer, Fred Price, Charlie Blake, Noel Jones here in Los Angeles, and the pimp of Hollywood. You know who I'm talking about, Clarence McClendon. Go to my website. You hear how he tries to degradate a Los Angeles newspaper man because the newspaper man wouldn't give him what he wanted. Go to the website, www.johnecoleman.org. It'll say Into the Word Radio. Tap into it. You hear the whole hour and 33 minutes for yourself. Come to it on your own. You people have been led down the primrose lane. It's Fruit Loop time. You bought into it. And you know what's a shame? You're loving it. You are loving this guy. Now listen, let me conclude by saying for the next few weeks until we have the Los Angeles conference coming up, I'm gonna be playing clips from all these guys for you, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to hear it, and so that when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you will be without excuse. Because, you see, you're not going to be able to stand there and say, well, Lord, I didn't know. Nobody ever told me. I mean, you know, I thought John Coleman was a kook. I mean, he's a mean guy. He doesn't have any friends. He's talking about everybody. Can he get along with anything? I don't get along with any heretic dogs. And that's what they are, and that's what the Bible calls them. Because without there are dogs. That's what God says. And these people are blaspheming the name of God. Now, you may say, you sound like a fundamentalist. Indeed, I am. I am fundamentally following the word of God, and I believe that every true Christian will do that, and his life is on the line for it. My gosh, that's what Ram Radio is all about. You know, just saying it like it is and just being real with it and having fun with it and saying it. You don't care who likes you, loves you. I don't care whether you send me any money. Don't send me any money. You're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day and give an account. You pray for me. Because next week we're going to have another one, and he's going to be spewing out his foolishness. And until I meet with you, my friend, I want you to stay into the Word.